Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Jill Derby, the former Nevada Democratic Party chair, talking about the Middle East, plus Joe Guild, poet. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. She is the former Nevada Democratic Party chair. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Glad to be here, Sam.
Okay, you're also very much involved in what's going on in Iraq in the northern portion of the country, which, you know, I think a lot of people are now calling Kurdistan, not officially. But what is it like on the ground there at this point in time?
Well, where I am on the ground, it's very stable and quiet. That's because it's Kurdistan. And throughout this whole issue over in Mosul and all the disruption and violence and war, Kurdistan has remained fairly stable. Now, the economy is in trouble for all kinds of reasons, mostly the what happened with oil. But in spite of the fact that a lot of the Peshmerga are involved in fighting, mostly they're defending Kurdistan. So it feels very safe when I fly in.
And it's interesting, as you look around the Middle East, do you just shake your head at this point in time trying to figure out, you know, who the winners and losers are, who the players are?
Yeah, I see instability going forward for a long time. I mean, you know, winning the battle in Mosul is only partly won. And it's what happens after that is going to be the very big issue, because unless there's some accommodation for Sunni, and they can dispel all the sectarian competition that's going on over there, it's just not going to work. There's going to be another iteration of ISIS that goes on. And so far, it doesn't sound good. I mean, you look at the pictures of Mosul. Mosul was the second biggest city. It was a big city like Reno, except lots bigger. It's in rubble. What happens to all those people? And something has to happen to bring stability. Let me say about the campaign for Kurdistan is that I think it's very unlikely to happen. You know, the United States is not supporting that. The United States still has a one Iraq policy. And then none of the neighbor countries, Turkey particularly,
Iran,
want to see an independent Kurdistan. And on top of that, some Kurds quietly, although they're so patriotic, really, about one Kurdistan and having a nation of their own, they recognize economically how can that be viable? It's landlocked. Oil is all they have, really, in terms of a serious resource. And look where oil is today. So there are a lot of problems to that conversation. But, you know, in terms of the passion of the Kurds, this is something they've wanted for hundreds of years.
It's also interesting. Well, and of course, because, you know, this was established at the end of the Ottoman Empire, was, you know, how these countries were laid out. They didn't really exist as countries and monarchies. They were created.
That's right.
And, you know, one looks at these things and goes, you know, we don't like strongmen, but to hold all these different pieces together, you need that in a way.
You could make that argument. You know, I've been giving some talks on this whole challenge, and I tell everybody, go back 100 years, read the history, and find out what's at the root of it. Because as you pointed out, it was after World War I, and the way the French and the British divided up all that territory between themselves and set boundaries that didn't necessarily take into any account for ethnic sectarian issues or the people involved living there and what they wanted. And really, that's the root of all of this that's gone on. But I think it would be hard as an American to argue, yes, you need a dictator to hold things in order. You know, starting in 2011 in Egypt, you saw how much those people want democracy. And we were hopeful in Egypt. Tunisia really is making a reasonable go of it. So I couldn't argue that, yes, you need dictators. And all that that means in terms of the squashing of people's rights and their participation in their government, I can't argue for that. I think there are examples where it can work, but it's going to be a long, slow process. And this issue of what feeds terrorism, what breeds terrorism, is at the heart of it, because unless this war with ISIS is somehow resolved in a broad way, I mean, you know, it's ideological, and you can't defeat an ideology with weapons. We'll win the territory, we'll take their caliphate away, but if you don't solve what underlies it, you just still have all the breeding grounds for more terrorism.
Okay, but how you know, I mean, that's the biggest question on the planet, which is how do you resolve this? You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, extreme poverty.
Yeah.
You know, these various groups, you know, they have, as you say, their ideology that goes out online. It permeates the youth. I mean, how do you change that?
Well, there are efforts going on to do that, and they just need to be wildly expanded. I mean, you know, you look across Europe, particularly Britain has taken the lead on this. There's a lot of work going on recognizing who's liable to be radicalized and what brings about radicalization. And France knows it as well. And employment helps. Giving these young men an opportunity to do something that's constructive helps. If you look at France and the high unemployment rate among those Muslim immigrants, mostly from North Africa, you know, this is a breeding ground. And then, you know, they're easy victims for the propaganda, but, you know, we've also established a counter kind of message and propaganda to deliver to those. So, I mean, you have to attack it on all fronts, don't you? I mean, it's certainly unemployment, but it's also the messaging, and it's also the Muslim community getting involved, as they are in many places, and trying to recognize who is vulnerable to radicalization, what are those sources, and to, you know, attack it at its root.
I get the sense that the
not easy.
No, of course not. And I get the sense that Muslim communities all across the United States are doing their best to be able to keep an eye on their own community to see if, you know, somebody's, you know, potentially getting out of line, that there's cooperation, you know, with the authorities, which is a tough thing to do when it's your own group, but at the same time. Anyway, let's take a break. I have an interesting alliance for you when we come back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jill Derby. She's the former Nevada Democratic Party chair, but also an expert on Middle East affairs. It's amazing to see what's going on with Israel and the Syrians, Israel and the Saudis. It's a whole new ballgame that could result potentially in some interesting developments that would benefit everybody.
Well, I think so, and I'm following it closely to see. You know, one of the things, though, Sam, if you've been looking at what's been happening in Jerusalem the last couple of days, sort of argues against the fact that the Syrians and the Saudis, who have their own interests at heart, let's understand that, working with Israel is one thing. But, you know, military occupation never works. People that are occupied militarily and denied full rights always resist it. Look down, you know, through the last 100 or 200 years of history. I've been reading African history lately because we're going shortly. It just doesn't work. So somehow Israel needs to come to some agreement with the Palestinians. And it's very tough. I wouldn't argue differently. The Palestinians are split between those two factions and all sorts of things. But they can't keep taking their land in these settlements. You know, these settlements are very controversial, and they're not endorsed in any way by anybody in the international community, because that will continue to fester and fester. So I agree that I think there are that those conversations are useful, and I hope can move things forward in terms of solving the Palestinian issue as well. But I think that still, even though it seems to be a little bit sidelined, if you look what's happening right now, it's still there and it still festers.
But I think you have to separate, you know, these two different things, because I think the Israel-Palestinian situation is different than, you know, the Iran situation, which is what's bringing everybody else together, because mm-hmm. they are more concerned about Iran than they are about fighting Israel at this point in time. I mean, for example, Israel is bringing literally hundreds, if not thousands, of refugees across the border for medical care from Syria. They're cooperating privately with Saudi Arabia on so many things. This wouldn't have happened 10, 20 years ago.
No, and also it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't invaded Iraq, because essentially invading Iraq turned Iraq over to the Iranians. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but don't underestimate the amount of influence that the Iranians have. I mean, a body doesn't do anything without consulting with Iran. So there's that dynamic that goes on, too. And don't forget that the Syrian government is Shia, and that's what aligns it with Iran and Hezbollah. I mean, there are all those dynamics, and it's always complicated, isn't it, Sam? But I think any discussions bring us hope for what they might provide for a broader sort of, that's not a solution, but progress forward.
And of course, Bashar al-Assad is actually Alawite.
Yes,
so
of course.
So just to put one more thing into the mix there.
Yeah, I mean, the Shia, both sects have their divisions, and the Alawites is a clear division. But obviously, it's brought about the alliance between Iran, which is Shia, and Syria, and Bashar al-Assad, and also Hezbollah in Lebanon.
So you know, as you move forward, I mean, it seems like every year, this just gets more complicated, not less complicated.
Well, okay. I mean, it's complicated by what started 100 years ago and the way all that territory was divided up between the big powers and so on and so forth. And then 1948, when the State of Israel was established and the Palestinians, many of them were pushed out. I mean, those things continue to fester. And one of the things you see, if you don't address some of those underlying root causes, things will continue to fester. But I'm not without hope, because the people there want democracies. And the world is going to be watching and trying to help solve it, because it's not going to work to have the Middle East in this kind of disruption and growing terrorists, because we've all seen it impacts us all.
Do you think that there is any chance for a two-state solution with Netanyahu in power?
Probably not with Netanyahu in power. But, you know, how much longer is he in power, and when would the Israelis start really bringing in a more moderate voices into this conversation? Because, you know, Sam, let me just throw this in quickly. If it's a one-state solution down the road, Israel is really going to be challenged, because they'll have a majority Palestinian population because of birth rates. And it's going to be another South Africa. And it doesn't work for the world, and it won't work for them. Smart people who support Israel recognize the two-state solution is what preserves Israel as a Jewish state, and nothing else does.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure. Always a great conversation. Thank you, Jill Derby. And we'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today.
Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're joined by Joe Guild, the famed attorney and lobbyist, and he's been on the show many, many times over the years, but not in this role, which is as author. He's written a book called Seasons of the Ranch, The Great Basin, A Misunderstood Landscape. And not only is it great stories, great photographs, but it also features haiku. So let's start out with this, Joe. Your history, your family history, may not be known to a lot of people who've moved to the area in the last 20 years. Share for a minute the history of your family.
Sure. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me, too, in a different capacity than normal. Appreciate it very much. Well, my great-great-grandfather walked to Nevada from New York State in the 1850s.
Walked
when he was 14 years old. And so that established the family in what's now Lyon County. And my grandfather was a judge. My father was a lawyer. I'm a lawyer, obviously, too. You know that.
And your grandfather was a pretty famous lawyer. Oh, a judge, rather.
Yeah, he actually founded the State Museum in addition to his other activities as a judge for almost 30 years. But one of the things I'm proud of is there's been a Guild or a Russell lawyer in Nevada for 105 years.
It's pretty amazing.
Continuously. So, and then what a lot of people don't know is I have a ranch background. I've managed ranches. I currently have a business with a partner, a ranch management consulting business. And so I've been involved in the livestock industry all of my adult life.
And this book is a very, very personal vision of yours of what Nevada's all about. What made you want to write this?
Well, I've always written ever since high school, and I wanted to write a book for my whole life. I've written a column, a monthly column in an ag newspaper here in Nevada for 17 straight years.
This is for Cattlemen.
Yeah, it's called Progressive Rancher. So I've always written, and it just kind of came together over time. The idea of this book is that the ranch is a metaphor for the Great Basin and people's misunderstanding of the Great Basin. So I start out with some essays, and then I move to what you would call traditional poetry, and then finally end the book with about 150 haiku. And the purpose of this is to, you know, when people first come to the Great Basin, it's so vast, it's so big, it's so overwhelming, they don't get it. And so the essays are to kind of have people think about it in a large sense and then move to poems about the ranch. And then finally, that kind of eases you into a little deeper look at the Great Basin. And then finally, the haiku, each individual haiku is a very small but careful look at the details of the Great Basin, which reveal themselves, if you're interested, over time. And so it's a metaphor about a very misunderstood place. But also I want to use the ranch to ranching is a misunderstood occupation and an endeavor, too. And ranchers may not be able to write a book like I have, other ranchers, but they feel about this place and the places that they occupy and work on as deeply as I do. So that's the quick view.
Okay, so I have to ask you just briefly, for those that are not aware, what is haiku?
Haiku is a Japanese form of poetry. It's been around for 800 years. It's 16 syllables and three lines, and it's primarily a nature-oriented, earth-oriented poetry. It doesn't talk a lot about people. And I studied English literature and haiku actually in college, so I've always been interested in it.
Joe, have you ever performed at the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko with your haiku poetry?
Not with a haiku, but I actually did perform in the first 3 years of the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko way back when, as they have open mics, and so I have read poetry up there. Yeah, Ray.
You know, you talk about both the Great Basin and the ranching industry in Nevada is quote-unquote misunderstood. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I've got an essay in this book called Living and Working in the Museum. And I think if a person drives from, say, Chicago for the first time to San Francisco across the Great Basin, they have no clue about what's happening in the canyons. And they might be driving 70 miles an hour across a valley and not know that there's 500 cattle scattered out through that valley. So they see desolation, no rivers, no trees. And so the misunderstanding is, what's it all about out there? I think I know what it's all about. It's about desolation, no trees, no rivers. So it must be a terrible place. And yet people work and live out here. The original Spanish missionaries and explorers called it the Great Unknown. And so maybe that should have been the title of the book.
Well, I think that, and having read the book, it's an excellent book. And I think that for people that have just come to Nevada, it'll give them the beginnings of an understanding. But for Nevadans, especially those that love the ranch country and the Great Basin, they are going to really thoroughly enjoy this. It's really a remarkable read. I wanted to mention
Thank
that
you.
If people want to get a copy of the book, and once again, it's called Seasons of the Ranch, The Great Basin, A Misunderstood Landscape by Joseph Guild. If you want to contact Joe directly, his email address is josephguild@yahoo.com. That's josephguild, G-U-I-L-D, @yahoo.com. Or you can purchase the book at Sundance Books in Reno, any of the Nevada State Museums in Las Vegas, at Springs Preserve up in Elko, at the Western Folklife Center. And I thoroughly encourage people to do this. And it's a great book for the summer.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it. Well, let me quote one haiku at the end of the book. The high desert settles in, sticks, and stays.
Pretty much says it all. Joe Guild, we'll be right back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, Congressman Mark Amaday joins us. We'll see you then.